from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Good Monday afternoon,
and it snows,
and back, and who's still alive despite rumors to the contrary? Cliff.
Yes, I'm still here. Already, I'm dying of a cold or something here.
Yes.
Hi, welcome back.
Welcome back. Anyways, no, it's Cliff has been out last week. Unfortunately, you know, he wasn't feeling too good. And glad to have you back, Cliff.
Well, hopefully it'll work.
And I'm sure that our listeners will be glad to have more than just a monologue from me. Which, by the way, I'm mad at you guys. Here I am doing the show all by my lonesome, and you guys didn't call. 646-721-9887. See how I slide that in there? 646-721-9887.
It's easier when they call, to no matter what you're doing, because it's easier to talk to people. I mean, it's easier to answer questions and to talk to people and to have at least some sort of structure in it. But to sit here and just do it all yourself and just sit here and talk, sometimes is a real problem. I got a problem with my throat. I can see that.
Yeah, they want their frog back.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, I tell you, the now Cliff, is you've been doing radio, professional radio, for how many years?
August of 1960.
About 1960.
Yeah.
So Cliff is an old pro at this, and I just got the bug a couple years ago. And unless you actually do this, even on the Internet, you really have a new appreciation for people that do this professionally, because even these shows – you know, it's a 1 to 2 to 3 hours of prep time at the very least. And then especially, you know, the nightmarish things when you try to do the whole hour and nobody calls that 646-721-9887 number.
Well, and a lot of the people sit out there and they think, well, gee, I could do that. That's no problem at all. And there may be a couple of them that could, but most of them can't. It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah. Yeah, try talking to yourself for an hour and see what happens. Or some people do.
Yeah, right.
We have a family member that we've counted 7 personalities. Maybe we should get their own show.
Well, now, that's another story. That's a wholly different thing. And I think perhaps that kind of a person, if they can call up their different personalities at will, maybe it would be a good possibility of them being able to do an hour or two.
I don't know. It works for Phil Henry.
Who's that?
He calls himself the world famous Phil Henry, where he interviews people that are basically him doing other voices.
Oh.
And then people call in and argue with his other voice.
Okay. All right. I'll be more than happy to accept that.
Yeah, he drives me nuts. I listened to him a couple times on the he's on at night. And I was going, no, wait a minute, this caller sounds too fake. So I did a little research for him, which wasn't that hard. And, yeah, what he does is that he's got the pro mics like we do. And then he's got a telephone, which he's got his other voices in and has arguments with himself and has callers come in. And, you know, he does both conversations.
I knew a disc jockey that did that. He did that for jokes. He'd do his own jokes, and he'd do the both voices. But he did that for jokes, and it was only that. He didn't try to make it sound like it was real or anything else. But and he did a great job of it. It was funny, but that's all he did it for.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe I'd try just to see if I could do it, but who knows? I don't know if I'm that brave or not.
Yeah.
But speaking of brave, why don't you guys be brave and give us a call 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room right now, and if you are listening to the program on the archives, you can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. and get your show ideas. And for us, going away is not one we'll do for a while, at least.
But 646-721-9887, that's the telephone number to call. And we'd like to hear from you, no matter what you have to say, and no matter whether you believe, whether you agree with us or disagree with us, that doesn't make any difference at all. We'll be more than happy to disagree with you or totally. And or if you agree with us, we'll agree with you. But that's it's more fun if we can disagree.
I agree with that.
Okay.
And we'll have a little bit of fun, too. But anyway, this program, by the way, is sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. Help support Tom and Kathy by checking out their website, dancingdogcookies.com. They make all-natural treats for your little doggy, and they're available in select locations in Lane County and online at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yep, Cliff loves them, and your dog will too. In fact, Cliff is opening up a package right now of Dancing Dog Cookies.
You know, I wonder how he came up with the name Dancing Dog Cookies. Is it, did his dog dance one day, or what gave him the idea of Dancing Dog Cookies?
I don't know. We'll have to try to make arrangements to get him on the show to talk about that.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to know. You know, it's interesting to know how different companies came up with their names. Weird things happen sometimes to come up with the names. Like I had a company at one time called Willy Penguin Enterprises, and that's because a friend of mine, while I was in the military, gave me a little wind-up penguin, and the whole company ended up being Willy Penguin Enterprise and used a penguin as a logo and so on. But
well, and it's funny that you're mentioning like names, like even company names, for example. Like for example, Wham-O is a toy company.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad it's not an airline?
Really? Never thought about it, but yes, I'm very glad.
Yeah, would you go fly the Wham-O bird?
Yeah, of course, you never know. Some people wouldn't fly it no matter, so it doesn't make a difference. I don't really care about airplanes. They don't bother me, but I don't know. Flying the Wham-O, I'm sure, would be upsetting to a bunch of people.
And I can come up with some others, but I can't say them on the air.
Okay.
So what the heck? Shall we get into some what the heck?
Sure, let's do something.
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
All right, this week's award goes out to multiple people, starting first with Arizona and House Bill
20. Arizona does a good job of getting awards.
They do.
Yeah.
Creating trouble, which sometimes is a good thing. But anyways, House Bill 2625 would give the employers the right to fire female workers for using birth control. The bill would allow employers to ask women whether they're using contraception and even demand that they provide proof that they are using the pill for non-sexual reasons. Under the bill, the employers would have the option to deny coverage and would allow employers to dismiss employees who take the birth control pill no matter where they got it. The bill has already passed the Arizona House and awaits Senate approval.
Now, that's backwards, because I would think you want them to have the birth control pill and want them to be using it all the time. That way, because the biggest problem I find with hiring a lady is that she gets pregnant and she quits, or she wants to at least leave the service of your company for 6 or 8 months and then come back, And that creates all kinds of problems, especially if you're a small company and there's only one or two people, and there's one person for each job, and when that person has to leave, what do?
Yeah, exactly. Like she's in the hospital giving labor, and you're on the phone to her. We got this client that really needs you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm busy right now. Go away.
Yeah, really.
And speaking of, because I have a couple of things kind of along the same line. Here's a Georgia bill that is being debated in the House that would make it necessary for a woman to carry a stillborn baby until she actually goes into labor, according to Representative Terry England, who decided that it is comparable to the stillborn of cows and pigs.
What?
This is all true stuff, folks. HB 954 would make it illegal to obtain an abortion after 20 weeks, even if the woman is known to be carrying a stillborn fetus. Representative Terry England says that life gives us many experiences. I've had the experience of delivering calves dead and alive, delivering pigs dead and alive, and it breaks our heart to see those animals not make it. Representative England suggested that if a cow or a pig could give birth to a dead baby, then why can't a woman?
I mean, that's got me. I didn't know they didn't. I mean, I didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
If we have the ability to relieve the stress of that, we should, I think.
Well, the thing is, Dad, for Christ's sakes.
Well, what did they do before they had modern science? I mean, did they carry the baby? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what kind of, I don't know how to answer that. How do you even discuss that?
Well, I tell you what, the day that Terry England can go ahead and have a share his experiences, then we'll go for it. But speaking of abortions, and new things going along with the preventative health care bills, kind of related to it, is that you want to get an abortion, you got to get raped first in the states of Virginia, Texas, and Iowa, where they are requiring you to have a transvaginal ultrasound, which is basically shoving this huge piece of equipment up your hole, so to speak, before you're allowed to have an abortion.
I personally want to stay away from that. I believe it should be the woman's prerogative, whether she wants to do something like that or not. And I don't believe that the state or the federal government or anybody else should have anything to say. It's between the lady and her gynecologist, I guess, who it is.
Well, and I've had one of those one time, and they're not fun. It's like he showed it to me. He's like, you're going to do what with that? I don't think so. Okay. And again, as far as legitimate news items, if you have a mustache, a proposed bill could give you a $250 a year tax deduction for facial hair grooming expenses. This Representative Roscoe Bartlett, a Republican in Maryland, who proposed what he calls the Stash Act. The Bartlett's office, of course, said that he never supported the measure, even though they only forwarded a copy of the proposal to the Ways and Means Committee. And they say that they did not have the congressman's approval to do that.
Okay, this is so ridiculous. I hardly even believe it. But I mean, knowing our government, I believe anything.
That's true. A couple more items here, real quick. By the way, next time you go to McDonald's and you buy chicken McNuggets, you might want to pay closer attention to the McNuggets because it might make you a lot of money. This is from the March 6, 2012 San Francisco Chronicle, where a Nebraska woman has sold a 3-year-old McDonald's chicken McNugget that represents the likeness of George Washington for $8,100 on eBay.
Some people are dumb. That's all I have to say. I mean, this business of selling it, I mean, when are we going to have the next one, you know, be the represent the Mother Mary or something? And which would go for the most money?
Exactly. Or somebody's imagination. I saw a picture of it and says, I don't see anything that looks like him, like George Washington.
Most of those things don't.
No, it looked more like Abraham Lincoln.
So which would go for more money, George Washington or Abraham Lincoln?
Probably Washington. I think he's worth more.
He didn't want to lie.
And one other thing I have on my little thing here. You know the old story, you get the summons in the mail to go to for jury duty, and people come up with all types of excuses to try and get out of it.
Yeah.
Well, this was no exception when Jacob Clark, received the summons to appear in the Orleans District Court in Massachusetts on April 18th. They said, although the courts have heard many excuses, this one actually worked for Jacob. You see, Jacob's only 9 years old.
At least he's not a dog.
Yeah, exactly. They said that although the mistake was quickly corrected, Massachusetts Jury Commissioner Pamela Wood says that a child gets called for jury duty at least once or twice a year.
Yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that. What's going to be really funny is when the child shows up for jury duty and the parent is there with him and the parent insists that the child be allowed to go on the jury, then I think we're better off. We're probably better off with the child on the jury. He'd probably make a better decision than most of the others would.
And let's see. I have one more little thing here. Then we got a little thing we want to talk about, Mitt Romney. I'll let Cliff go into that one. Okay, part of the in previous programs, now Cliff and I have gotten into some numerous discussions on this when I talk about when we talk about the government budgets and how we don't have enough budget for one thing, but we got budgets for miscellaneous or non-essential stuff like art. Well,
you keep harping on art. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, in this case, it kind of goes to this extreme in New Jersey, where they almost shut down the state capitol because they ran out of toilet paper due to the fact that they didn't have any budget for the toilet paper.
That's art?
No, it's not art. They had budget for other – well, it depends what you use. They have budget for other things, but they didn't have any budget specifically for toilet paper, so they couldn't buy toilet paper.
So they shut down the whole place?
They were risking shutting it down. If you don't have toilets, you can't, you know, run the business there. But
what kind of a budget do they have? What kind of a budget that's so inflexible they don't have a little money somewhere to buy a toilet paper? Of course, on the same token, I don't know how big this building was. It may be thousands of offices, and could not having toilet paper could be a major problem. I don't know. But I think that, to me, there'd be some way around it, some way to work about it. Just sort of ridiculous to me.
Well, like I say, is that going into business with the city council, roll your own.
That's true. I don't know. I think it's really shows us, you know, I know that you want to get money for a small community and it's designated for a certain thing. You can't spend it on something else. But there's got to be a release, some sort of a relinquish of the rules so that the people can spend the money the way they want to. I mean, there's almost they'll work around it. They'll put the money in someplace else and transfer it across or something. They'll find a way to do it. So obviously they were looking for a way to shut the building down.
Or something. I don't know. But it's just another example of you know, how the government, the way the government's ran, the problems that it caused, you know, it's just not working. I mean, imagine if we try to run our household the way, you know, our budget and our household the way that, it just wouldn't work. I mean, general household with, you know, two people working, a lot of times it goes into the same bank account for the same expenses, you know, everything's shared, you know, there's none. You know, honey, we don't have money for food today, but we got money to go out to the theater. Yeah, that don't work.
Well, see, one of the things that's happened over the years is we've had so many years of our being better and better and better and better and better and accomplishing more that we don't have any thing put in there, any kind of thing, any kind of a speculation of when it goes bad. And all of a sudden now, the last years, it's getting worse and worse. And so we don't know how to deal with it, and we don't know how to compensate for it. We aren't doing a good job of compensating it, anything.
Totally agree. And speaking of compensating, how about 646-721-9887? Give us a call. And Mitt Romney, little thing from the past that kind of, Cliff kind of brought this to my attention. I don't know how you found it, but you want to talk a little bit about it?
Oh, I found it. It was on a thing called Ongo, which is a news thing that I get every week, or every day, actually, at least once a day, that brings up news stories. And this was about a dog. See, years ago, Romney had a dog and took him on a trip. And he, I don't know, how anybody would think of sticking a dog in a crate and putting the crate on top of the car and letting the dog live on top of the car for, it wasn't a long trip. It was a day or so, 2 days, I don't know. But the dog, of course, didn't like it up there. Wasn't happy up there. And the dog got diarrhea up there. And the dog, and I guess Romney just stopped and hosed the car and the dog off at the same time. And it was just, the whole thing was very, very poorly handled. And of course, let's face it, the man's running for the highest office in the world, and he's being caught with anything he can think of, and so Seamus the dog is becoming a big thing, and it's all over the news, and the terrible thing that Romney did with his dog. It's how he could do that, I don't know. I mean, you'd think most people, if you're going to bother to take the dog with you, it must be you think something of the dog. He must not think too well ahead. And I mean,
makes you wonder how that came about. You know,
how's a person put a dog on a crate on the top of the car to move it around? I mean, what's it going to put on the top of the car next time with us? It's going to be some people. He's going to take back and forth to the prison on the top of a car or in a crate or something. I don't know. It just very, very poor responsibility to me.
Well, and of course, in the modern day thing, you do something bad and it winds up on Facebook, and there's a Facebook group called Dogs Against Romney.
Yeah. And see, nowadays, especially because everything is on the internet somewhere, and consequently, it's real quick to catch up on the internet. And I didn't look at on the Facebook thing. I just read this story, but it just, I mean, if he has that poor of discretion in one place, what's he going to do where next? How's he going to handle something of importance later on? And how's he going to do that? I'm a little worried myself at this point.
Well, and what happens if he gets in the office and he gets upset at the vice president? You know, and strap him onto the roof of the White House?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things, you know, things that, and I suppose in some instances, handling some criminals could be done that way, should be done that way. But that's not the way we do it in this country. We think of ourselves as being more sophisticated than that. And especially with a dog, I would think he'd be more sophisticated with a dog than probably with some people. So, myself.
Well, and here's let's see, in the story itself, in 2007, Fox News Sunday commentator Chris Wallace asked Romney, "What were you thinking?" The response was, now pay close attention to this answer, "This is a completely airtight kennel mounted on top of our car."
Ah.
Okay, I'm putting my dog in a completely airtight something. I don't think it would be a good thing.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. It sounded pretty hesitant to me. Maybe it was a special thing that was on top of the car to take care of it, but obviously it didn't take care of it because he messed up the top of the car and messed up himself and made a horrible mess out of things. And maybe his dog just simply doesn't like living on the top of the car. I couldn't think of, if I couldn't put the dog in the car, I would have found a kennel to take care of the dog while I was gone.
Yeah, or like you say, just put the dog in the car. And there's a, one of his advisors commented, who wanted to remain anonymous. He said, for crying out loud, with 8.3% unemployment, if the dog defeats you, you deserve to be defeated.
Okay. All right. I'll go along with that.
I could just see Romney winning the nomination and having to go up against Obama. Well, what about the dog on the roof? Is that where you're going to put most Americans in an airtight package on top of a car?
Really?
Yeah, I can just see that.
I mean, I suppose, you know, there's someone somewhere that advocated that was a good thing for that kennel to do, or a good use for that kennel or something. But, yeah, I mean, your dog is a part of the family. You put the dog in the car with you. And maybe, of course, got to remember that Romney had a big family. And so maybe he couldn't fit them all in the car.
Well, at least he didn't put his kid on the roof. Anyway, 646-721-9887. Do you have any comments on this or anything else you'd like to bring up? We'd love to hear from you.
I would have loved to see that, a kid on the roof. Oh, boy.
There was a kid in the box on the roof of the car. At the bottom. I don't know. It sounds like a nursery rhyme.
Okay.
Well, dog on top.
We've got enough problems with Mitt Romney. I mean, Mitt Romney, right now, his big thing is that he's waiting to find out what's going on in the war in Afghanistan. See, the war in Afghanistan, are you ready to change our subject just a little bit here?
Sure.
The war in Afghanistan is now the longest running war in United States history, I guess. It's at least 8 years old, and some cases 10 years old. But he's Mitt Romney, when asked about what he would do about the war in Afghanistan, it's not really a war because we haven't really declared a war. But anyway, that's another story entirely. He says he would take a stand on whether the troops should remain or continue to withdraw on the timetable set. He would take that stand when he hears from the military leaders. Well, in my opinion, if you're going to hear from the military leaders, if you're hearing from the military leaders that are in Afghanistan, that are doing their job there, you're going to find out that you're supposed to stay. They're always going to want you to stay. They're going to want you to keep their job. I would not make that decision depending on the leaders that are there already. I would make that decision depending I hate to say it's a political reason or political decision to make, because it's everybody gets all upset about that. But it is a political decision. It is a political decision that we should get out of there, get out of the Afghanistan thing. We've been there long enough. We're not accomplishing anything. We're doing stupid things now by making mistakes and burning the Koran and different things. We're making mistakes, and we've got to get out of there so we can stop making the mistakes. So and we should definitely get out of Afghanistan and any other of the wars, quote, close quote, that we're in. So that's his position, is that he's waiting to hear from the people over there. He's waiting to hear from the people who are involved, which I can understand them doing that, but that should not be how to do it. Would be the way the listening to the people over there, but not when and should we do it. We should make that decision right now and to get out of there.
Well, of course, the problem is, unless there's an app for that, they probably won't do anything.
oh, boy. Does that ever... the whole thing gets to be... There's going to be nothing happening in the world in 10 years unless there's an app for it. That's right. It's going to be... The whole world is going to come to a screeching halt waiting for an app.
We're going to war. Quick, find the app. Go to the app store. Yeah.
Yeah. Except that now it's a war. It's an app to get out of the war. I mean, we're already there. We need an app to get out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just absurd. The ridiculousness. We don't listen to people. We are listening to people going by the apps, because people are writing the apps somewhere, somehow.
And being millionaires from sell for a dollar app and yeah.
I wish I could think of an app to write and knew how to write them. I'd love to. Of course, nowadays there's so many. There's over a million apps out there. So how do you find them? How do you find what you want?
Now you go to the app store and do a search, I guess, like Google, and hope that it's a good app. There's probably an app for that, too.
Yeah. Really?
Here's a news article I kind of wanted to touch on real quick here, back home, and kind of back to the green stuff. Oregon is throwing in more electric charging stations for electric cars, like the Nissan Leaf goes about 70 miles on a charge, roughly. And Oregon's doing what's called the electric highway, which about every 25 miles is a charging station.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it says here you'll be able to, you know, go recharge your car in about 20 minutes on these fast chargers.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. We have two of them here in the city of Cottage Grove, believe it or not. Now, one of them, granted, is kind of like out in by itself, but the other one is at a restaurant, and you can stop at a restaurant and have something to eat and plug in and charge and have your car ready to go when you can leave and get ready to take off. And now that things are going to change, I'm sure, because they're not going to let you keep charging your car for nothing forever, but right now a lot of them are free. There is a charge going to be made for the state chargers, but I don't know what it is yet. The one that's in the in Cottage Grove doesn't have a charge on it. You can just go charge your car and then leave. But sooner or later they're going to make up a charge and you're going to be punking coins to the charger, I guess. I don't know. It's very unusual, and it's a very new thing. So I'm sure it's going to be a charge to it somewhere. It's going to be related to the charge or the cost of gasoline somehow or another. I don't know how it's going to relate to it, but it will be.
Well, I think the attraction for like the Leaf and such is that they're looking at, you know, spending less for gasoline. And like you said, at the moment, some of the charging stations are free. And in this one article, they're saying it only costs them about $15 more a month in electricity. The problem with that is that after more and more people get these electric cars, they're going to start getting a bill for the road mile tax. So they're not going to get away or get a free ride, so to speak.
Well, that's true. Something's going to have to be done about the fact that all the cars are not that are on the road are not paying gasoline tax. That's going to be a while, but there's got to be a way around doing that, and people are going to be a little upset about it. But that's why I say it's going to be the charging the charge or something like that is going to be based on gasoline and the price of gasoline, and that will include the tax on the gasoline that will be charged in there. So when you plug your car into a charging station, it will charge you appropriately. And I'm going to sneeze.
Wait for it. Here it comes.
Really? I'll try not to. But anyway, there's so many different things that are going to have to change. The 70 miles that they've got, and that's I like the Leaf, the choice of using the Leaf, because it does go 70 miles on a charge. The Volt, Chevy Volt, which I understood they've stopped making it for some reason or other. or maybe they're going to again, I don't know, but they only get about 40 miles on a charge on that. But it, the Chevy Volt is a hybrid, whereas the Leaf is not a hybrid. And the Leaf is 70 miles. There are some others that are 100 and 150 miles on a charge. And we're getting things changed to the point that making it more and more logical to use an electric car, an all-electric car, to do things. Now, granted, they're not going to be useful yet for going long distances. You're going to have a hybrid. So I'm looking to find out, waiting until Chrysler, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Chrysler has decided to go a different route. Chrysler is going for the, what do they call it? The they're doing hybrid with, boy, my mind is going.
Well, let me just throw in there that, now, in a way, I can see a hybrid, but like I'm looking at the on Nissan's website regarding the Chevy Leaf, it brings up some interesting things. It kind of goes along with what I've said. Here's some Q&A stuff on the Leaf. It's like, will the mileage decrease over time as the battery ages? And they say, like any battery usage and age will lead to gradual loss of capacity, which will impact your driving range. Mm-hmm. And then thing I brought up with, well, you know, if you're not going anywhere, you're using headlights and other stuff, well, of course, that drains the battery. And they said they kind of said they agree, you know, using light, stereo, other accessories when you're not in motion will drain the battery. Having extra passengers, of course, will drain the battery. And so far, the EPA says it has a driving range of about 73 miles. Well, depending on where you're at, 73 miles, you won't be able to make it on one charge. And as I'm waiting for it to load here, there's a whole section on cold winter driving.
Well, that's why the Leaf is only good for certain things and for local driving. You want a hybrid, be it what kind of hybrid doesn't make much difference. I mean, but you want something there that changes over to a gasoline storage tank so that you can go longer distances. That's, I mean, at this point, we don't have the electric vehicles set up to do much more than that. Now, I believe that we will ultimately end up using the electric vehicles, and that be with a battery that's interchangeable. So you could go for whatever your distance is. And the changeable batteries, interchangeable batteries, when you drive up in a car like a Leaf, and it's in an, and it, not, well, it's like a Leaf, let's not be the Leaf, and change the battery, you could do the changing of the battery in a matter of 3 minutes or less. I mean, you'll back up and they take the battery out and put the new one in and show you how much you charge for the charge on it, and you're on your way. And it can be done even faster and with less trouble than filling your tank with gas. And so that when it's that way, when it's taken over like that, then you've got something that you can go a long distance and you can continue to drive with. Then we're going to have basically electric cars taking over the road. And so until we continue to do work on something like that, the hybrids are going to be the ones that are going to be taking the road. I don't know if we'll have... Which will take it? Which will take over? Will it be hybrids or will it be electric cars? Ultimately, I believe it'll be electric cars. How far down the road it goes before they do that, I don't know. But ultimately, it will be electric cars because it will get rid of all of the pollution, plus be a lot faster, a lot quicker, and a lot easier. There are less moving parts in an electric car, believe it or not, than there are with. But on the same token, well, I was going to say the advent of computers is higher in electric cars, except it is not. Nowadays, if you have bought a car recently, computers are a big thing. Your car is full of computers, all of it.
Well, it's excuse me, it's interesting too that I'm reading the owner's manual of this thing where you're talking, is the other stuff that this vehicle contains, like it incorporates a communication device called a TCU, telemetrics communication unit, and there's also a warning for this vehicle in addition to the fact that it can create birth defects. According to California, radio waves could adversely affect medical or electric medical equipment. For access to more information. So, like, what the heck, besides just having a battery, what all they got underneath the roof of this thing?
Well, we're getting carried away now because we've had warnings about radio waves being detrimental to your health in various and sundry ways. And people who live right under electrical radio wave distribution points, radio towers and stuff like that, it hasn't proven any more difficult for them than it is for other people. I mean, there's other ways of it. It's not medically unsound. So this business of making it so important that they're making big, big claims about things that they don't know anything about. And I understand.
Listen to this warning here, again, back in the manual. Do not place any metalized film or metal parts, et cetera, antenna, et cetera, on the windows. This may cause poor reception of the signals from the tire pressure sensors.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing wrong with it. Just more transmitters. But I don't know.
Everything is running that way nowadays. Everything is wireless nowadays. And you're going to find that by – I even have a problem with my television set. I have to be careful where I put things that are between me and the television set and so on, because it changes the direction of the controller and things won't work. So you got to – everything is – it's wireless now.
Oh, yeah. Listen to the instructions of how to start this silly thing. It has a push-button power switch. You push once to turn on to accessories. You push it two times to turn it to on. You push it three times to turn it to off. You push it four times to return to accessories.
Well, that gets me to another point in my life that I'm very upset about. Yeah. I'm upset at one button does all in everything. In a computer, in cars, in telephones, and everything. It's one button does all. You know, too damn cheap to buy a button, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, put in an extra button here and there and not make them do the same thing.
I mean, if you shake a little bit or lose count, can you start over? We had a few people coming in and out of the chat room today. One stuck around for a little bit. This just disappeared. Shame on you. Anyway, 646-721-9887. If there's other things you'd like to talk about, you know, give us a call, 646-721-9887. Like I've always said, if you've never, ever called a talk show before, this is a really good format to do that. You pick up the phone, and you can listen to us live, by the way, on your telephone while we're broadcasting. And if you want to join the program, you just push 1 on your touch-tone phone. It comes up on my board, and I say, welcome, area code, whatever your area code you're calling from, and you're on the program. That simple, just like talking on the phone, except to millions of people worldwide.
Don't let it worry you. Yeah. Millions of people listen. You don't know they're there.
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
It's like we don't know you're there.
We don't, because they're not calling. Get on the stick here and call us. I'll tell you.
If you think we're boring, give us something more exciting. 646-721-9887.
I'm really, as you know, I'm all gung ho about the electric car and the advent of the electric car and what we're going to do and change things and so. But I'd like to touch just a minute on how we're going to generate our electricity. It's not going to be by nuclear power. We have got lots of ways around the nuclear power idea. It's just going to take us a little longer. Well, yeah, it's not going to take us longer to get it, because it's going to take so long to build a nuclear power plant. Nuclear power plants don't happen very fast. But we've got to have a lot of controls released regulations. I wish I could tell when to believe and when to not believe Mr. Obama. It's because he goes on and on television and when he opens his mouth and flaps his lips, you don't believe him. But anyway, I would like to say he believes what he says, because he's advocating that we get rid of many of the rules and regulations. But I wish we see some sort of result of him doing it. And if not, then we've got to get somebody in there who does. But that's the thing we've got to do. This business of oil has got to end. I mean, let's face it, we're sitting here just look at the tremendous devastation. We don't even know the devastation at this point of what happened in Japan and the what has happened to those three, and I think it's only three. I haven't been keeping up with it, but as far as I know, only three power plants in Japan that are smoldering or whatever they're doing. But we've got to not do that. But let's face it, we've got to stop depending on oil. The idea that the oil is running out is happening. It is happening, and we are going to be running out of oil. So we should be paying attention to oil right now, converting it over to natural gas. That would be a thing that could be done very quickly and very easily. And I think probably 80% of our newer cars could be run on natural gas right away. I mean, it just took effect. Last time I heard, it was like 60% or something of the new cars were being made to run on either natural gas or gasoline, regular gasoline. But anyway, they're being changed over, can be changed over right away. And we need to get rid of gasoline and any kind of radiation thing that... Now, for example, with electricity generated by air, we've got the sunshine can be collected in various sundry different ways, by mirrors, by all kinds of different ways that solar power can be, as well as the actual solar panels themselves, which are today becoming far and far away, much better and much more efficient. I'm seeing solar panels now that are down to around $1,000 for a solar panel. That's unbelievably efficient as compared to just a very few years ago. I see them in some of my catalogs of things, and so it's different. Things are going to get better and better in that particular gauge. And so our biggest thing right now is how to store the electricity, and we're worrying about that at the moment. Different batteries are coming, getting better. I'm waiting for an epiphany from someone on a new kind of battery, because we need something. But it can be done, and we've got a range to start making our point of getting changed over to replenishable type of equipment.
We have the, you know, in America, when we're placed a challenge, you know, we come up with some pretty good innovations, actually. But the first thing I think we need to do, however, is we need to give ourselves more energy independent. Now, I agree with you that oil is not going to be there forever. It's kind of like, you know, sucking liquid out of a glass. Sooner or later, unless there's something to replenish that liquid, you know, it's not going to be there. And there's nothing to replenish the oil. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Well, it is replenished, but it's so much slower than we're using it that it's not even acceptable.
But you know, when I do a search for, like, why are the gas prices going up? Because, you know, they say that demand here is down and our supplies are up. They're saying Libya. Well,
Wait a minute. Before we go into that, let's make it clear that the gas prices, as they stand, have nothing to do with supply and demand.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's having to do with what's going on overseas, and it should be disconnected if we were having less demand for our oil overseas.
And that's where I wish I could believe in Obama and in what he has to say, because I believe in the idea of letting the prices of gas raise way, way high, and it's going to hurt some people and going to make some people unhappy because they have to change over. But that's the only way, you know, like you say, when we find ourselves in a position where we have to do it, we can come up with the ideas. And until we have to do it, we don't bother with it. We just don't bother to even try.
Well, yeah, and like crude is up to $107 right now, which last time when it got up to $150, what really created a lot of problem. But according to here's an article from ABC News dated February 21st, when asked why our price is going up, and again they're citing Libya, and stating that we only get 1%. Of our fuel from Libya. So why would that affect prices at home?
It doesn't. That's a ridiculous part. This idea of coming up with a reason from other parts of the world is not acceptable. It's not acceptable by any chances. And we could supply that 1% for heaven's sakes, we could supply it with wind power probably at this point.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, we have an opportunity. Now, granted, it's still foreign oils, you know, the pipeline, which the president's solely against. We got lots of oil, three deposits now in North Dakota, and now they're claiming that fracking is causing problems. Well, fracking's been used for a long, long time with very little issues. And, you know, I mean, we have so many different ways that we could reduce our dependency on foreign oil, and it seems like we're just really hesitant to do it.
Well, we are stuck in our ways. We don't want to change things if we can help it. It's easier to. Well, I don't know if it's easier. It's not at this point. We've got to figure out a way to change it because it's going to run out. I mean, I don't want to make a point that that I think the oil in the world is going to end in 6 or 8 years or something like that. I think we've got a couple of three generations of worrying about oil. But still, so many different things can happen, like the different spills and things like that. And if there's an easier way to do it, and if there's a better way to do it, then let's just change it. Our whole system, change it. It's not that impossible. It's something we can do.
Well, I agree. But it has to be realistic so where the average person can do it. You know, when they're talking about go out and buy a Nissan Leaf or a Chevy Volt or whatever, you know, even if you wanted to, in this economy, how many people can?
Well, that's why I'm saying if you take a look and find out how many vehicles are made to run on E85 right now, and if we used all the vehicles that are capable of running on E85, and I'll have to bring mine up, but you'll find that a certain amount of vehicles are being made to run both E85 and standard gasoline as we speak, and so a huge amount of vehicles could be done that way overnight without any real trouble at all, and then a great many more of them could be changed that way with a little bit of just a little bit of expense. And so if we were to change that, we could probably take 30%, I think, off of our gasoline price, our gasoline usage. And the 30% less than the gasoline would mean we wouldn't have to build any more oil wells or dig any oil wells anywhere, and then natural gas we'd be using instead. Now, I understand that natural gas is down in a lower price but only because we're going to be somehow or another connecting natural gas with the price of gasoline. And so since the different prices of things have got to make up for those taxes that are there, it's going to change the price.
Well, here's a couple of things that, and this came out of Obama's mouth when he's talking about fuel. Like, first of all, and this is a quote, we could save all that oil that we're talking about getting off drilling if everybody was just inflating their tires and getting regular tune-ups. You could actually save just as much.
Mm.
And another thing that he was saying, and because of the new standards for cars and trucks, they're going to go further, use less fuel every year. That means pretty soon you'll be able to fill up your car every 2 days of every week, and over time, that will save you, a typical family, about $8,000 a year.
Yeah. I don't know. That's...
Now, if we get the gas prices like Obama wants them to be, you know, compared to Europe, yeah, that might save us $8,000 a year. But if our gas prices go up that far, I mean, compared to when they actually reached almost $5 a gallon in some areas, and you know, when crude was back up to $150, it, in my opinion, threw us into the recession that we're slowly trying to creep our way out of.
Well, it's hard to say. But I do know that it's doing the E85 thing, and that could change from oil to natural gas, and that could be done so fast. I was looking up here, trying to look up and see. There's an E85 station right here in Cottage Grove, one of Senex's gas stations, just all kinds of different ones. What I was looking for was a thing that tells me.
While we're looking for that, with 30 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. Apparently it's a slow day. We're not having too many people check us out, but, you know, again, if you join us on the archives, we hope that you'll join us next week. And for the live program, 646-721-9887. And if you come across a story that you'd like us to discuss, email. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And I would like to, and I'd like to get a little bit more involved next week in the gasoline thing, because I really think that's an important part of our economy and the way it's going to change. It's going to make a big difference in our economy as to how much the price of gasoline is. And the only way we're going to change that is by eliminating the price of gasoline as a part of the stipulation as to how much price, how our economy goes. Because we're basically making our decisions based on other countries. I mean, we've got the whole oil cartel determining how our prices are working, and that can't be. We can't have that happening. We've got to be able to control things ourselves.
That's because we're too worried on, like on the what the heck stories that I gave. You know, we're too worried about firing somebody for doing something personal, like whether or not they use birth control pills, or now this thing like the Affordable Health Care Act, where we're forcing insurance companies to pay for contraceptives. I mean, that's where our brain is, instead of actually working over here and worrying about ourselves.
That's true. That's true. And and we pay too much attention to silly little things like that. And then we don't have, we're not at a point of decision making. We're not at a point of having a fuel crisis yet. And I think we're pretty darn close to it in the state of Oregon, because we're very close to being over $4 a gallon, and they're being very careful at the gas stations to make sure that we're at $3.85 and $3.90 and not $4. But it's going to happen very shortly, and we're going to be over $4 a gallon all over the state, and then people are going to be a little upset and a little cause a little bit more thinking about what's happening next. And there's a lot of $5 a gallon is when people are going to start rebelling. And then's when we're going to actually see how long it takes for ethanol and different things to take effect.
Well, look at when it was last time, people were literally, and I was one of them, we would have to fill up our tanks, because it cost me, I spent $65 to fill up my tank. Fortunately, I only go through a tank every 2 weeks, thank goodness. But still, you know, that's $130 a month just in fuel. That's
mm-hmm.
a lot of food.
Yeah.
You get to the point, especially because the money doesn't go as far as it used to. I mean, it used to be if you were making $15 an hour, that was a decent wage.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a family, if you have a mortgage, when I was making, in my last job, I was making $13 an hour, and there's the two of us. We were going in the hole every month. In fact, we barely were able to pay our property taxes for the first time since I've owned the home.
Mm-hmm.
We all
mm-hmm.
didn't get our property taxes paid, and it's horrible. I mean, and it's not like we're going out and frivolously spending our money either and living luxury. I mean, our cars are old. I mean, my car is an 84. That's the newest vehicle I have.
And see, that's the problem, that we're driving old cars in order to save money, and yet we're paying the extra money because we're driving old cars.
Right.
I mean,
like,
we
can't afford to go out and buy the newer car per se, and plus take on payments. You know, I had some car bankruptcy a year and a half ago. I can't. Well, I might be able to qualify for a high interest loan, but then I'll have to have $100 a month or whatever going out, which I don't have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why the difference in adopting and changing older cars to run on the E85 or the different kinds of fuel as well as the newer cars, because that's the thing that's going to have to happen. And if you want a place to spend the money that the government is spending, like the huge amounts of money we're giving away, then let's give it to the car companies to make newer cars available at lower costs so that more and more people can afford to buy them. Let's give away cars or something instead of however we were doing it before, because it wasn't working the other way. So we may as well change the system.
I
wouldn't mind having a new car if it was made. Of course, I'm at a point now that I'm living on a fixed income, so no matter what they do, ain't going to help me.
Well, that's true. And as far as the gas savings here, I'm looking at, it's called E85prices.com, where they break it down where the prices are throughout the United States. And
well, that's the thing I've been looking at. I've been looking, because before when you look for 85, it told you how many vehicles are working on 85. But nowadays, they almost all of them, assume they all are, and they're available everywhere. You can get it everywhere.
Yeah. Well, currently there is a price savings, like about 18%.
Yeah.
Of course, if you can find them. But apparently there is an app for that, too.
Mm-hmm. There is. In the state of Oregon, there's a million places. Well, not quite a million, but there's a bunch of places that are available to get E85. And not just Oregon, but every state in the country. So it's getting closer and closer to being there. Exactly where there is another story. I mean, there's so many directions we're trying to go to all at once, and we're not. I don't know. How do I put this? It's a thing that we've got to do. It's something that we've got to take place, but we haven't got any direction as to how and what direction to go. Now, E85 is one simple way. Natural gas is another simple way. Hydrogen, fuel cells. That's what the Chrysler people are going to come out with, and they're going to try that. So we're in the position of position at the moment, but we aren't.
Well, here's the catch-22. Now, back for those that remember the quote-unquote gas shortage, what was that, back in the 70s, 80s, roughly?
Yeah.
A lot of people got together and they found alternatives or found better ways to tune up the car or different cars. But see, back then, there wasn't so much regulation that you could actually experiment. I mean, I don't know what year they actually passed this law, but if you do anything with your emission system on your car, it's a big no-no. You can get hefty fines for that one. Even just a lot of places won't even repair emission systems on the car. I know that from experience when a mechanic screwed up my air injection system on my pickup. You know, I couldn't get anybody to fix it, and finally we just ripped the whole thing out. Yes, I admit it there. But the way things are right now, I think we're just more in survival mode, and because of the regulations and everything else stifling it, I don't hear the outcry of people trying to come up with alternative methods, you know, like we've been known to do. Or if they are, they're stifling, and it's just not making the news.
Well, that's it's being stifled, but it's being stifled because in the case of care of well, we've got the EPA is running everything, I think, at this particular point, and we've got to change some of these rules and regulations so that the human can enter into things again. Human beings can do something about things, and you don't have to be an actual space engineer to accomplish something nowadays. That's what's you've got to change things so that people can actually do something.
Well, actually, this speaking of this came out on the 7th of this month. Obama on Wednesday proposed bigger tax credit for advanced technology vehicles where they are powered by electricity, natural gas, or other alternative fuels, and announced a $1 billion initiative to help a dozen or so communities across the U.S. create infrastructure to support them. You know, what they should do is similar to, I need to look at the acronym, but DARPA, which is the defense, D-A-R-P-A, I think. Give me just one moment here. Because DARPA is the from the Defense Department has actually come out and I'm trying to do three things at once here. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency is what it stands for. And every time they've come out with a challenge, like for example, making a vehicle drive itself, there was a big grand prize for that, and a bunch of these and private companies got together and developed a vehicle that drives itself. Now, granted, it's great for military use, and, of course, you know, a lot of times what goes into the military soon becomes part of everyday life. Well, I don't know if they, if DARPA has something similar for alternative fuels or engines or different designs. I think that, personally, I think that the internal combustion engine, just like they did with the Wankel engine, needs to be redesigned because there's only so much you can get from, you know, something pushing a piston down. But if they had a huge cash reward, you know, which could, like with these cars that drove themselves, you know, get the universities and other engineers interested to go after the big carrot, I bet you we could come up with something besides electric or strictly electric that would not only be feasible but affordable.
Well, you know, what are the airplanes they've got a different kind of an engine in them. They don't. Why aren't we using something like that in our cars, or is it more or less feasible to use? I mean, does it use more or less energy, not gasoline, to operate it? I don't know. There have got to be other ways. Are there other kinds of combustion engines? I assume that a jet engine is a combustion engine. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a combustion engine. In fact, if you went down to, I think it was Harrah's in Reno, I don't know if it's still there or not, but the car museum, They actually had a turbine car engine, and they said the only reason why that it didn't make it to production is because it was simple, had very few moving parts, and would last a long time.
You see, that's another thing. how much of our industrial ideas have been thwarted by the industry, by the automobile industry or the gasoline industry, and how much of it is being controlled? Well, again, we're back to being controlled by the gasoline industry, by that cartel of people that are controlling things, and they've got the money to keep us from putting the industrial engines. I mean, if it's possible to stick it in our car, I had heard that myself. I heard something about it, about the fact that they were smaller, that they developed more horsepower, they developed it with less power, less gasoline or whatever it uses to do that. And why aren't we using it? Why aren't we actually putting it in there now? It should be there ahead of a time and way ahead of what we're doing at this particular point. And that could actually impetus off of the problem.
Well, the thing is that unless it's profitable in some ways, you know, either it's going to save people a lot of money, which, you know, somebody will make a profit off doing it, unless there's going to be a huge cash reward, people aren't going to do it, especially the average person, because the economy is worse now. It's harder for people to do the garage mechanic thing and to come up with their own stuff. It has to be like a university or a business or whoever that actually has resources to do it.
Well, they've got too many people involved in the car industry and the gas industry are involved in together in this whole thing. It will take someone bucking both of the industries to come up with this different thing to put together into a car. And it seems to me like it would make it more inexpensive. It would make it more sellable, more environmental agents. It would be, I'm trying to think, I'm lost now.
but yeah, you'd think that, you know, the agency that stifled development, like the EPA, you'd think that they would give some exceptions to, I mean, like experimental aircraft.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for Obama to do. He's promised that he'd help us with something like this, and he won't do anything.
No, right now he's being the car salesman, telling everybody what they want to hear just so he can keep his job.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to some of the old 2008 audio clips of when he was running for election, like regarding the health care, I don't have the clip handy off the top of my head, but just like when he was debating Hillary Clinton about health care, saying that under your plan, people are going to be required to buy insurance, and if they can't buy insurance, they're going to have to pay a penalty and still not have anything. Well, now we're doing that with Obamacare, the exact same thing that he said he wasn't going to do.
Yeah.
he's just telling everybody what they want to hear. And then doing, you know, whatever little thing that he wants to do. You know, people are still trying to figure out, you know, even to this day, they're trying to figure out who he is and what his agendas are, because he keeps swaying. He's just like he's like that guy from Green Acres, the TV show, the one that always tried to sell the farmer everything.
That's why I'm saying I wish we could have him come up with an idea, actually think of something himself, or at least come up with an idea that someone else has, and stick with it and live with it. He changes from day to day, but he does keep saying that he's going to try to get rid of some of the controls and some of the rules and regulations, as do our local, or not our local, but our GOP officials. Try to enter into that a little bit, but still, they've got months away before they can accomplish anything. It would be nice if one of them would, but to have put the one that's winning up there, or Romney, I don't think he's going to get too involved in something like that. He's not really that knowledgeable, I don't believe, and I don't believe he cares. I don't really know about Santorum, to be honest with you, because I don't know exactly what his philosophy is on that. I know that Gingrich would do something about it, and I know that Ron Paul would do something about it, but they're not the two that are running in number one and number two, so we may be lost there too.
Well, yes, Mr. Haney was the character.
Ah, yes.
That's right, Mr. Douglas. You need to buy this new tractor. I think it's like two wheels on it.
Yeah. Really?
But that's kind of the way it is. I mean, like what I read earlier about Obama's math. You know, saving $8,000 a year. You know, we don't spend $8,000 a year for fuel unless you drive a semi.
Well, and he doesn't. He's a little bit lost there. He doesn't quite understand the. See, he's not. I don't think he's ever saying his own philosophy. He's got people who are writing his speeches and his opinions, and he's just going on what they're saying. I don't think he's ever had anything to say until the last 6 months or so. He's maybe I've seen a couple of times where he's actually come up with a few ideas and gotten away from the teleprompter that everybody takes him for example. And he's got a few ideas of his own, but it's not nearly enough to accomplish anything. So we've got to wait for somebody else to go in there. Again, we're back to my whole point of this is the most important election in your life. Let's do something about it. Get something to happen.
You know, this reminds me. I love this Saturday Night Live or somebody did this, but me doing a little cartoon on my YouTube page about Obama being up on the podium reading whatever comes across his teleprompter, and the people in the back going, "Watch this! He's just our puppet. He'll say anything we put up there."
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And I think that's true. I hate to say it, but I think it's true in this particular case. So I don't know. That's the thing is, we've got to come up with how I want to put this. You know, a way of fixing our gasoline, an ethanol combination of things, or a hydrogen combination of things, natural gas, whatever we do, we've got to be a possibility of making it a step to something else, because we're going to be making a change again once we make that change. It's going to be changed. We've got E85, we've got biodiesel, we've got natural gas, we've got propane, we've got hydrogen that we can work with. They all can be converted over to something we can use. And later on, it's all going to be converted, I'm sure. You watch. Everybody, I think, who really thinks about it knows it's all going to be electricity.
Well, again, if you can make an electric car and combine it, say, maybe with... Now, solar cells are not there yet, but someday somebody will invent them, so that it's charging while it's parked.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, where you don't have to mess with it every 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, the electric car would have to totally replace what a gasoline vehicle can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why at one point they will, because we're going to be changing new types of batteries that can last longer and so on and so forth. But at the moment, we've got to combine them with something else, ethanol, biodiesel, hydrogen, whatever, propane. But I think natural gas and propane are the two things that we should be spending most of our time inventing and working on. Right now we're working on ethanol, which is the wrong thing in the world to use, as far as I'm concerned, because it's using our corn and things like that. It doesn't have to, but it is using corn, and we should get off of it. So we should be using natural gas, and the other thing is hydrogen. Hydrogen can be produced in the car with this collar cell, fuel cell, and I'm waiting. I wish that Chrysler and Fiat, who is running Chrysler now, would get their act together and show us how that's going to work, or if it's going to work, or maybe they've actually already given up on it. I don't know.
By the way, I want to quickly change the tone here a little bit in our 9 remaining minutes. I want to talk briefly about Blog Talk Radio in itself, and I'd like to do is put out a request to our listeners out there that, you know, if you've found our show, send us an email on how you found our show. And so I'm really curious about that, because Blog Talk Radio has made lots of changes, and I'm looking at their homepage right now, and I'm not even seeing us in the listings. We used to show up, but right now it's just featured. And so this is not a free service that we are doing. It costs $40 a month for the level that we're doing it. Personally, I don't think we're getting our money's worth, but that's a different thing. And so I'm just curious, you know, if you found our show, tell us how you found it, and also if you have any ideas of how to improve, you know, how to get us out there. But anyways, talk at caribbeanradio.com. I'd be interested to hear your feedback on that.
Any other kind of feedback? Anything you might happen to have that would help us? Perhaps we're doing the wrong thing. Perhaps we're even going about it wrong. I don't know. If there's something you've got to say so on, let us know.
Well, the new design is a thing I've been complaining about for a long time. I mean, it's stifled our traffic because we can't promote our shows. And right now, if you look on the blogtalkradio.com's homepage, you got three sections, and one of them is online radio stations, which, of course, are the commercial radio stations. Got a whole bunch of feature stuff. The only place we show up on the front page is if you go into the live chat and click on the More button. Well, then, there we are. Other than that,
everybody's on our live chat instead of listening to us.
Exactly. And some folks in here are showing up multiple times. So, again, you know, just putting it out there to our listeners, if you know, so we can help improve our program and also continue doing it. Like I say, it's a little, you know, $40 a month for this. We're doing it, but, you know, we're not making really any money on it. Our sponsor is a, you know, how would you term that, Cliff?
And basically, if you have a different way of going about this, let us know what it is. Maybe we need a change. Maybe there's a better way than Blog Talk. I don't know. We haven't found it. If you know of anything, let us know.
Exactly. And also, if you got an issue, or if you're also a Blog Talk host or whatever, and you'd like to be a guest on the program too, send us an email and we'll talk about it, and, you know, might invite you to be a guest on the program.
Yeah. We'll talk about anything.
We'll talk about anything. We're always looking for ways to improve. I think Blog Talk is working on behind the scenes and getting things better, I hope, because they've been sending out surveys. All I know is that, you know, again, I'm not pleased because Blog Talk Radio, in my opinion, they got a lot going for it. There are other companies that do something similar. They're not as good as Blog Talk, in my opinion, or at least not as easy, like TalkShoe, which... it's similar, but you have one main phone number, then you have to enter a show code to get to that show instead of just a straight phone number. And again, they don't promote within as well as Blog Talk Radio does, and they're not as well widely known as Blog Talk Radio. So, but Blog Talk Radio could be like the way we originally set it up was to be our primary location. But they're setting themselves up to be a third-party location. In fact, they're relying on a lot of third-party apps, which also I'd like to remind you, too, to visit our homepage, krbnradio.com. Cliff has been putting a lot of work into it. It looks really great. There's a lot of information there, and there's links to our programming. You can also listen to any of our 200 shows. I believe there's a link on our homepage, Cliff.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You can go to krbnradio.talk. Blog, KRBN blog, and it'll put every show we've ever done. A great big huge long list there, and let's see here, the latest, it goes clear back to December 5th, 2009. So it puts all of them now up there, and you can listen to any one of them at any time, just simply going there and taking a listen.
We're also on iTunes as well. All 200 plus episodes are there, so we're all over the place. So,
and then especially on Blog Talk Radio, back to that, there's a lot of other things that are on there too. Over on the left hand side, on the menu side, there's a lot of things. And you just click on each one of those things, and it's amazing the kind of information that you'll find that we have listed over there. It's superior. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. This Huffington Post election board is something that I'm finding very interested. You bring that up, and it keeps you up to date as to what they're doing and what they're winning and what they're not winning and what they're getting for it. Because of course you understand that votes themselves don't count; delegates do, and so it's how many delegates you get. Doesn't make any difference how many votes you get. You could win all kinds of votes, but if you don't get the right ones with the proper delegates behind them, then you're screwed. So it's what's happening right now, and there's a lot of other things over there, too, going on there.
Exactly. And at some point in the future, we kind of, when we originally started our program on Blog Talk Radio, we decided to have it as multiple shows under one umbrella. Well, the Blog Talk's changes kind of put a temporary hold on that. And one of the things that we had planned to do was to get guests on the program, like we had former Lane County Commissioner Cindy Wildreyer for one. We've had, the name slips me. I apologize. The horse rescue people, Dybul was their name, and others, and we plan to some point in the future have more guests, but
finding out who they are is another point.
Well,
that's the thing. Send us an email if you want to be a guest. If you know somebody who you'd like us to talk to, somebody who'd like us to interview and work with, let us know who it is so that we can be happy to check them out.
And Cliff and I, being kind of older people, you know, we're not getting into the social media that much, like Facebook. You know, we're both guilty of not updating that as much. And so far we only have 15 likes, which if we get 21 likes, we can actually have our own name on there, on the address. And, you know, help us with that. Help send us some traffic to Facebook. You know, just nothing else. Go like us and say hello.
If that's all it takes is 21 more people all together, please do. Let us know. But let us help. Give us some help with that, too.
Exactly. So, with all the pleading and begging and whatever, and since nobody called again, 621-9887, we'll be nice. We'll forgive you. We'll give you a choice again, our chance next week, and to do it again Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. So that's an open invitation.
Looking forward to seeing you.
And again, if you're listening to us on the archives, send us an email. If nothing else, just say hi. We won't spam you or anything, but, you know, just say hi. Talk at krbnradio.com. Let us know you're out there. The numbers show that you're listening, but we'd also like to have you at least participate.
Have a good day.
See ya.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.